Luke chapter 16. The message I'm going to preach this morning is as much more for saved people as it is lost people. And it's a message that I've had down through the years that God has used. And I pray you'll use it again today. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Would you please stand with me? And good to see each one of you. God bless you. Good crowd today. Good to see you. Beautiful day out. Wow. I'm glad summer's coming. How many have got Luke 16, 19? Notice, by the way, this is not a parable. The Jehovah's Witnesses say this is just a parable. It's made up. No, this is a true story. This is the Word of God. It's true. Notice verse 19 of Luke 16. There was a certain rich man. By the way, that's another reason I know it's God's and His grace didn't make this man dies and goes to hell, and God's grace, He doesn't tell the man's name. He gives the other man's name that went to heaven, but He doesn't give, because He don't want people down through the centuries to say, oh, that was my ancestor. He's in hell right now. God's good, isn't He? Look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Can I say this before I go on? Everybody dies. Everyone has an appointed time to die. I'm going to pray for that. Brother Billy mentioned that man. I'm going to pray that God let him live. But you know what, Brother Chuck? It might be that man's time. We should pray for him. But whatever God wants, that's what we want. And I'm going to tell you right now, every one of us today, none excluded, you'll have an appointed time. I'll have an appointed time when I'll take my last breath and we will stand before God Almighty. Notice that scripture. And verse 22, it came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, that rich man, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, once you die, you either go to heaven or hell, and there's no reversal. Whenever you die, your eternity's sealed forever. If you die and go to hell, you're in hell forever. If you die and go to heaven, you're in heaven forever. No changing. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. See, hell's real. People make jokes about it, but it's no joking matter. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The trouble is they don't hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from them from the dead, they will repent. He said, let me out of here. I'll go back and tell them. No. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If you're not going to believe a preacher in the Word of God, you're not going to believe someone that came out of the grave. Because it's the hardness of people's heart. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, is always a hard message for me to preach. I pray you'll help me. Holy Spirit, fill me. I try to yield myself 100% to you right now. Please. Help me to do the work of God this morning. Help me to do it well, I pray. May people come closer to you today. May people's lives be changed forever. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. When you look at... Thank you. When you look at these verses that we just read, it tells us of two people who died, one a beggar, and he went to heaven. He went to Abraham's bosom. And a rich man that died and went to hell. The beggar didn't go to heaven because he was poor. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Everyone has to make a decision in their life for Christ. If you don't make a decision for Christ in this life, then you go eternity without him. And you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses say that this is not an actual account of a man going to hell. But can I tell you something? And let me sound off to all the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not a very good witness for Jehovah. Because hell's real. Hell's real, and I'm going to tell you right now, those Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, there is no hell, preacher. There's no hell. You're just trying to scare people. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just trying to tell people why Jesus came in out of heaven, died for me on the cross of Calvary, and rose the third, so I wouldn't have to go there. I'm going to tell you about the price he paid with his blood so you and I can escape from the dangers of hell. So I'm going to say right now, there are people in hell right now, and there are no unbelievers in hell. Once they die, and even if you say, well, I don't care what you say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. You don't have to believe in hell, but when you die, you will believe in hell because there's no unbelievers in hell. And today I want to, contrary to what people believe and have been told about hell, I want to give you there's some good things about hell. And I want you to follow me in the scriptures as I show you a few things that are good about hell. If you look at verse 23, number one, verse 23 teaches us in hell one has good eyesight. I'm talking about good things about hell. Look at verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his what? His eyes. And being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off. He's afar off, but he still sees him. And Lazarus in his bosom. So so this teaches me one thing about in hell. Number one, in hell, one has good eyesight. Although hell is complete, total darkness, by the way. Jude verse 13 says, to whom the reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Hell is so dark, it's dark and dark. And yet, even in that darkness, the lost can see into heaven. That's something, isn't it? I mean, still yet in that darkness, he lift up his eyes and seeth Abraham afar off. Just think, to be able to see heaven from hell. Because there's good eyesight in hell. Although to see heaven and not to be able to go to it, to me would be a great hindrance. Can you imagine the torment of being able to see people in heaven and not to be there with them? So number one, hell, one has good eyesight. Number two, not only do they have good eyesight in hell one has good feeling. If you'll notice verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He has good feeling. He feels everything. The only thing is, what he feels is hurting him. I am tormented. So you say, oh, you die and go to hell, you won't feel nothing. This guy was feeling it. I get a kick out of these people. Oh, there's no hell. There's no. Then they say, you can't feel nothing. They say, once you die, that's it. You don't feel nothing. Liar, liar, pants on fire. You better not be an idiot. You know the Bible says only a fool said in his heart there's no God. You got to be a fool to go to hell after Christ died for you. Notice, that rich man, he had good feeling. He could feel the pain of the torment. The rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. Listen, that rich man, that was recorded over 2,000 years ago. You're a young preacher. That man was in pain 2,000 years ago, son. He's still, after 2,000 years, he's still in that excruciating pain. He's still crying out. Trouble is, our ears become dull to hearing what people cry out. How many can say amen? That man had, he cried out. He's still crying out today. I'm going to tell you. The scripture says, I'm going to read to you. Don't just stay in Luke. I just want to read you one scripture from Matthew 13, 41, 42. The Son of Man shall send forth angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell's real. Can you say this with me? Hell's real. And verse 50, and they shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing, gnashing of teeth. Satan doesn't want us to know what people are going through right now. He clouds our life with all kinds of things, and he gets our mind off of people dying and going to hell. But our mind ought to be on people dying and going to hell. Well, I'm saved, preacher. I'm not worried about it. Yeah, but what about others? I'm glad. You know what? I'm glad someone, Brother Marty, was caring about my soul. I'm glad someone was willing to come and pick me up and take me to church so I could hear the word of God. I'm glad they cared about this old kid off the streets from Galena Street. Revelation 20, verse 15 says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You see, right now when people die, they go into that compartment in the heart of the earth called torment. When Christ comes back and he in the revelation, and then at the, when he raises people up, one day those that are lost, they're going to go from torment, and in Revelation 20, 11 through 15 says he's going to cast them in the lake of fire, even worse than what they're in now. That's what you got to look forward to if you're not saved. That's what your family has to look forward to if they're not saved. That's what your sons and daughters got to look forward, and your grandchildren and your friends that you work with and your next door neighbors. If they don't know Christ, this is what they got to look forward to. Notice verse 24. By the way, today is June 1st, 2014. And billions upon billions of people are crying out from hell this morning. It would be great if we could hear their cries. Brother Rich, I think it would motivate us to be a soul winner. I think it would motivate us to knock on doors. I think it would motivate us to pray for others. I think it would motivate us to go to our family and friends that aren't even saved yet. Look at verse 24. Not only do they have good eyesight, good feeling, but they have a good thirst. Look at verse 24. In hell, one has a good thirst. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water. Cool my tongue. Let me see that. There's great thirst in hell. You have a good dip his finger in water that cool my tongue. In hell, you're going to have a good sense of thirst. I thought of this years ago. Years ago when I was a young kid, I went back, like I was in my 30s. I was playing basketball with a bunch of guys, and we were over there in North Toledo back then. Man, it was like 90 degrees out that day. Boy, we played four or five games, man. We played for over an hour. And I don't know about you, but when I'm playing basketball and stuff, I get, especially when it's hot, I get thirsty. And I was so, we got so thirsty, we just quit playing because we were so, the heat was unbelievable. And our thirst was, and so I said, hey, let's get in the car. We only, our house is only 6 blocks away. Let's drive back and get something cold to drink, and we feel like we'll come back and play some more. You know what happened? Everything on that Summit Street always had, we had train tracks. But you know something? We got to that first track, a train. I'm dying of thirst. How many been like, you're just like, you don't think you're going to make it? That one gets passed. We get to the last one right before Rosie's dad's house where we were going. Another train. Different track, different train. Wait another 15 minutes. Jack, if I could have been Superman then, I would have jumped over that train. I would have gave someone $25 for a glass of water. You ever get so thirsty you pay anything to get something to quench that thirst? And I just kept drinking that water. It just, boy, nothing quenches it like water. And I thought of this, can you imagine being in hell? You're going to have that kind of thirst, and you're never going to have relief. There's never going to be a glass of water. There's never going to be something to take that dryness and thirst away. For not just for one day, forever and ever and ever. See, in hell, there's a good thirst in hell. And a person will thirst forever and never get it quenched. Then if you look at verse 25, one has a good memory. They have a good eyesight. They have good feeling. They have a good thirst. Look at verse, one has a good memory. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember. Look at that. Son, remember. In hell, people have a memory. They're going to remember. Oh, preacher, no, you're going to remember. People laugh at us because we believe there's a literal hell and that there's a literal heaven and that Christ died and shed his blood so we could go to heaven and escape the pains of hell. People laugh about that, but I'm going to tell you something. I really believe in hell, and there's no doubt in my mind about this because God's going to bring them up in the book of Revelation. He brings them up in the great, strong, big and great stand before God, it says there in Revelation chapter 20. And the books are open. But I'm going to tell you something. I really believe in all my heart. I believe this with all my heart, that when a person stands before God in hell, that God's going to bring forth certain times in their life when someone came and preached to them or someone told them about Jesus. I believe God, and he's going to say, remember? He said to them, remember? Hey, remember when we came to you? Remember when we begged you? Remember when we told you it was real? I think one of the greatest torments in hell beyond the suffering is that you're going to remember you could have got saved. You're in hell when you could have been in heaven. You're in suffering when you could have been in bliss. Remember? Your memory will be good, and you can remember all the times someone tried to point you to Christ. You can think about how you could have been saved. Throughout all eternity, I truly believe you're going to remember throughout all eternity the times people brought you the gospel, and you said no. No. There might be people today in this church say, I don't care what that preacher says, I say no. Go ahead and say no. And one day you stand before God. I actually believe you're going to see me. I believe God's going to say, remember that time Pastor Skyver, remember the old little fat gray-haired man, big mouth guy, mega lung? He tried to tell you from my holy Bible, hell's real, hell's real. You're going to stand before God, give an account, hell's real. You're going to see this little fat boy spitting. I believe that. And what's sad is you're going to say, oh, my lands, I could have been saved. I passed up the chance to escape what I'm in now. Yeah, there's going to be, and by the way, not just that day. I believe you're going to remember it throughout all eternity as a torment. And then look at verse 27 and 28.
in hell, one has a good concern. Look at verse 27 and 28. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wilt send into my father's house. For I have five brethren. I've got five brothers alive. That he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place to torment. He said, man, I still got five brothers living. Please send someone there. Please tell them. I don't want them to come to this place called torment. I don't want them to feel like I do. I don't want them to have to go through what I'm going through. I don't want my family to... I want them to escape the torments of hell. Please go tell them. Did you know something about that? Once a person dies and goes to hell, they got good concern. They've really... People in hell have got more concern for lost people than we do. Because they're crying out, please go to them. Tell them before it's too late. I wish I would have listened. Please. See, even the lost people in hell have good concern. They have great concern. Now listen to me. If people in hell right now are crying out saying, go to my family, if they have good concern, don't you think you and I ought to have good concern? Don't you think we ought to have an attitude that any moment one of our family members, our friends die, they could go to hell? I want to give you an example of my life. I hope it helps you. Years ago, when I was a young kid, just 23 years old, My best friend was my dad. Me and my dad were best friends. I loved my dad beyond measure. We used to work together. We fished together, hunted together. I bought a house just a few blocks away from where he lived, two doors from where Rosie's mom and dad lived. Me and my dad used to drive the same car. We'd go to work together. I remember one day saying to my dad, we were on Glendale Avenue, just getting ready to, we're on Anthony Wayne Trail, and just getting ready to turn to get on Glendale Avenue. That's where the plant was. And my dad said to me, my dad was an old-time guy. He was a hard-working man, but he wasn't a kid-around guy. He was a straight-laced guy. When he worked, he worked so hard, people couldn't keep up with him. It took usually two men to stay with my dad. When my dad died, Allied Chemical, the corporation, said that Harvey Skyver was the greatest and working employee that they ever had employed. But I got saved when I was 20. Surrendered to preach when I was 21. We were going to work together that day, and you don't understand, my dad, you could be in a room with my dad for 5 hours and he might not say one word. He was real quiet. My mom was real open. That's probably where I got mine at. She always hugged people and told she loved them. And my dad said this to me. He said, Rich, because we'd witnessed to him a little bit and tried to reach him. And he said, do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? And I said, no, Dad. I couldn't believe he asked me that. And I got so excited. We were both in, and I said, no, Dad. All you got to do is ask Christ to save your soul. Put your faith in Jesus. That's all you got to do. And I started going. He said, that's it. I just wanted that answer. So I want to know. No more talk. That's the way it was. I remember not too long after that, we came out, at that time, we worked all three different shifts, me and him, but we came home on second shift. I came home at midnight, got off at midnight, got home around 12:30. I had a 1968 Buick Grand Sport. white with black, and it had the chrome rims on it, and it was high performance. It was sharp, and it could go down the road. And it went down because I was a young kid. But I bent the key. I bent the key in that Buick. I don't know how I did it, but I bent it. So I stopped over. When Dad got home, I said, Dad, I got to get my... He had a vise in the basement. I said, I need to... He said, let me see it. And he took it and he put the key in the vise. He tightened it and he straightened it out. And he said, there you go, son. You're all set. I said, thanks a lot, Dad. I'll see you tomorrow. Went home. Didn't think nothing of it. My dad was in perfect condition. About 2 hours later, my mom called me and said, Rich, get down here. Something's real bad with your dad. And the first thing I thought of, oh, my dad's going to die and go to hell. We jumped up, me and Rosie jumped up. We got halfway down the steps. I'll never forget it. I can see it like it was just yesterday. We started going down our steps from upstairs, and I stopped, and I said, I'm praying for my dad right now. I said, oh, God, please let my dad live, and oh, God, make sure he's saved. Oh, God, you know what? I was begging God to save my dad. Wish I would have prayed like that 2 hours before that. You know, it's amazing how we just think we got plenty of time to reach people. I went down there. They called the ambulance. He had a major stroke. And they took him to the hospital. By the way, the date was January 11th. My son David Richard was born years later on January 11th. When my dad was there for 7 days, the first day and a half, he could still open his eyes once in a while and squeeze my hand. And I said, I wouldn't leave my dad. I never went to work. I wouldn't leave the hospital. They called Alec and said, he's not going to come in. He's not leaving his dad. They gave me some kind of extension because you can't miss more than 3 days. I wouldn't leave my dad. I love my dad beyond measure. And every day I'd go in, I'd be with him. I'd say, Dad, Christ loves you. Dad, Jesus really cares. He loves you. Ask him into your heart. If you haven't done it, ask him. He couldn't talk. When you have a stroke, and then after the first day, his eyes closed. And so he couldn't respond with eye contact. But I said, Dad, if you can hear me, squeeze my hand. Squeeze my hand if you can hear me. In the first couple of days, he did squeeze my hand. And I kept telling him about Christ. I kept praying with him. Boy, I wish I'd have been concerned about him like that when he was healthy. Why does someone have to die before we get excited about get worried about them dying and going to hell? Why can't we get excited about them while they're alive? Why can't we get that concern? They had good concern. We ought to have good concern. I was concerned then. Time was running out on my dad, who I love more than anybody in the world. I remember one day, I said, Dad, I'm going to pray with you. And I said, if you haven't asked Christ to save you, I want you to ask him. Because I know you can hear me because you squeezed my hand. And so I started to pray with my dad, and my mom was in there. And I said, oh, God, help my dad to come in. And I was just praying out. And that meter, whatever kind of meters they had my dad on, they were going off the chart. My mom got scared. She said, stop. And I said, no, leave me alone. Nothing's more important than this right now. Boy, I wish I'd have cared more like when he was alive. Why do we have to wait till they're on their deathbed to pray for him earnestly? Why do we have to wait till they're on their deathbed before we really go with all our heart to tell them? Hell's real. Hell's real. When people die, they go to hell. Too late after they die. For 7 days, he was in a coma. And I just stayed there with him. Told him I loved him. Told him about Jesus. You know, I'm going to ask you something today. How about your family? You going to wait till they're on the deathbed to call me to tell them about Jesus? Some of you ought to go out today after I get done preaching this message. And I don't know if you got a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or a family member or a friend, and you know they're not saved. 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 They're one heartbeat from hell. This church ought to be motivated today to go out and say, hey, I'm not going to wait for you to get like Mr. Skyver did. I want you to get saved now before it's too late. I watched my dad go out in eternity. Day by day, he got less strength. After about the third day, he couldn't even squeeze my hand. But I kept telling him every day, Mike, I wouldn't go home. I didn't go to work. I didn't do nothing. That was my dad in there, man. That was my dad in there. And for 7 straight days, I pleaded with my dad about Jesus. And I just thought, oh, God, why didn't I do this when he was healthy? What does it have to take for you and I to get concerned about people going to hell? What does it take for us to really have a caring heart for someone dying and going to hell? I remember he died on the 18th of January at 12:20 in the afternoon. I was there when he died. I was the only one there. I wouldn't leave him. It's amazing. My son David was born on January 11th at 12:20. Years later, I don't know if my dad went to heaven, Josh. I have to live with that. See, you guys are lucky. You know your parents are saved. I'm preaching this message today to you. It's been 43 years ago, and it's so vivid, I can still remember everything about it. I live it every day of my life. I couldn't even go to the gravesite for several years. I didn't go to his gravesite because I just couldn't go there. And after about 4 or 5 years, I went there and I just laid down on his grave and cried and said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I failed you. And that's what kept me going in the ministry. Because every time I see a lost person, I think about my dad. You're here today and you're lost. You don't know if you die. If you die, you're going to go to hell forever. And I don't want you to. And Christ doesn't want you to go to hell. Hell's real. It's about time, Christian. Christ is coming back, Brother Mike. Jesus, the trump of God's going to sound. I'm going to tell you right now, we better get ready. He's coming. And you better be ready because you're going to be left behind if you're not saved. And if you die without Christ, you're going to go to an everlasting torment place called hell. What's it going to take for us to witness? What's it going to take for us to get concerned? What's it going to take for us to care about those bus kids? Lest they come into this place. Would to God we had that kind of concern. Verse 26. In hell, one says goodbye forever. Look at verse 26. And besides all this, is between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they say they pass to you from us from that once they from. In other words, you're saying goodbye. Once you die, there's churches that teach you can give the priest money, give the preacher money, and he can pray your family in heaven. That's a lie. That's a lie. When people die, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. And there ain't enough prayers, there ain't enough candles you can light, there ain't enough money that we can give. Once you, listen, you better listen to me. You better listen to this preacher. I know what I'm talking about. When you die, your eternity is forever sealed. You better be sealed with the Holy Spirit and got Christ in you, or you're going to be sealed forever in hell. And there's no turning back, and there's no changing mind. And the great gulf, if you, there's a great gulf fixed. He can't come to you. You can't come to him. I don't care if your mom and dad saved. I don't care. I'll make it because of my parents. No, everyone's an individual before God. One in hell, one says goodbye forever. There's a great gulf fixed. There's no reversal. There's no turning back. Those that go to hell will say goodbye forever. Those in hell never wanted God. Those in hell never wanted the things of God. Those in hell never wanted the people of God. Listen, now you are forever separated from God, from the things of God, and from the people of God. So say goodbye. In hell, say goodbye forever to the love of God. So in hell, say goodbye forever to the mercy of God. So in hell, say goodbye forever to the salvation of God. So in hell, say goodbye forever to the for the protection of God. So in hell, say goodbye forever to the people of God. So in hell, forever say goodbye to the blessings of God. So in hell, say goodbye forever to the heaven of God. So say goodbye forever to the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And after saying goodbye, say hello to these things. After saying goodbye to the love of God, say hello to the hatred of Satan. After saying goodbye to the mercy of God, say hello to the cruelty of Satan. After saying goodbye to the salvation of God, say hello to damnation of unbelievers. After saying goodbye to the protection of God, say hello to eternal, everlasting punishment of hell. After saying goodbye to the things of God, say hello to the evil of darkness. After saying goodbye to the people of God, say hello to the devil's demons. Say hello to the unrighteous. Say hello to the fornicators. Say hello to the idolaters. Say hello to the adulterers. Say hello to the effeminate. That's the queers. They are going to hell if they don't get saved. You can't say that. I just said it. Say hello to the abusers of themselves and mankind. Say hello to the covetous and the thieves. Say hello to the drunkards, the revilers, the extortioners and sorcerers. Say hello to the whoremongers and the murderers and the liars and the defilers of whatever what worketh abomination against God. And after saying goodbye to the light of the world, say hello to the Lucifer's place of darkness. After saying goodbye to the blessings of God, say hello to the wailing and gnashing of teeth of Satan. After saying goodbye to the God of heaven and the heaven of God, say hello to the devil's chamber of hell forever and ever and ever. You better get saved if you're not saved. And if you got family today, and you don't work on, if you don't respond on this message, and you got lost family and friends, and you don't witness to them, their blood's going to be great on your hands, because God's told you to go tell them through this message. In conclusion, yes, there are some good things in hell. There's good eyesight. There's good feeling. But who wants to see heaven and can't hold it? Who wants to be tormented with feeling? Good thirst? Who wants to have a good thirst but never can quench? Good memory? You're always going to remember that you could have went to heaven. Good concern? Oh, yeah, you're concerned now. You better get concerned now, not later. And goodbyes. Be a wise man and choose the goodness of God and his salvation in Christ. I hope. I hope that you witness to your family. After my dad died, you know what I did? I promised God, and I did it. when my dad died and the funeral was over, I said, God, I'm going to go to every family member. I'm going to my aunts, my uncles, my grandma, my cousins. I went to everyone in my family on both sides of the bloodline. And I said, Christ loves you, and you need to get saved or you'll go to hell. And I did it with passion and love in my heart. When's the last time we went with passion and love in our heart for someone that's going to go to hell? That son of yours, that daughter of yours, you take that last breath. All the love of you can't bring them back. They're gone forever. Those grandkids, you better show those grandkids the love of God. You ought to bring them to the salvation of Christ. That's what motivated me, Josh. That's when my bus started going 100 every week because I couldn't stop. They ran 100 every Sunday, and I'm not making up. You can check my records. They had the bus thing. They always, I can't remember what they used to, my little plaque was on that plaque every year. I don't care about the plaque, but something has to motivate you. And I'm not telling you kids, you guys are doing great. I would visit, I would visit 7 hours a day on my bus routes. Seven. I'd get there at 7 in the morning, have breakfast. I'd preach to the bus people. And then me and Brother Bud Skiles, we'd go out, and I wouldn't get home sometimes. I'd leave in the early morning, and I wouldn't get back till dark. My kids didn't hardly even see me growing up as little kids. But we had thousands of people saved. See, you got to get this down to your heart. It took me watching my dad. It took me watching my best friend go out in eternity. And I won't know if he made it to heaven until I get there. I'm afraid he didn't make it. And I let my best friend, the one I love more than the whole world, I let him go without knowing Christ. And I lived with that all my life. You want to know why I got so much passion? That's why. It stems back 43 years ago when I held in my arms my dad, who I love beyond anybody in the world. I don't know if you got a best friend today, but if you got a best friend, I hope you tell him about Jesus. I hope you tell her about Jesus. I don't know if you got children, but I'd make sure my kids were saved. I'd make sure my grandkids were saved. I'd make sure my brother and sister were saved. And you know what got me, Josh? I went to my brother. He got saved. I went to my mother. He got. It's amazing. My cousins say, if they see your real heart, you know why we don't reach them? We never go to them. Well, they're a family. I can't reach them. Yeah, watch your family die and go to hell. Then you'll have tears. You could reach them if you want. It's just what Pastor Dave says. We always say, people do what they want to do. Do you want to reach your family before they all die and go to hell? Hell's real. Hell's real. Hell's real! And they're crying out right now. Out of torment, they're crying out. And maybe one of those cries might be my dad. I hope that none of those of your family will be ever crying out for the place of torment, because hell is really real. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, please help us. Oh God. Please help us to see reality. Please help us, God. Lord, there's lost people all around us and we don't even care. We have family and we don't care. There's people here I'm just going to have you play softly. First of all, if you're here today and you never saw yourself a lost sinner going to hell, and by the way, until you see yourself going to hell, I said a prayer with a preacher. That didn't save me. A year later, I realized I was lost and going to hell. Then I said a prayer to God and I got saved. If you're today and you've never asked Christ to save you, and I didn't say pray, that you realize you were going to hell and you knew if unless you got saved, you'd go to hell, and you asked Christ to save you. How many say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I've asked Christ to save me. I'm positive. I'm positive. Thank you. May put him down. See, Jesus says, I come to seek and to save them which are lost. You can't get saved until you get lost. I want you to be honest with me. If you're here today and you're not saved, and you'd like me to pray for you, would you raise your hand? Just raise it up right now. Who else? Raise it up right now. If you're not saved, you know what? Better than that, just get up from your chair and come get saved. You're a fool to die and go to hell after hearing a truth message like this. Christian, can I ask you something? Do you have family that you haven't witnessed to? Maybe for a long time? Friends? How many say, preacher, I've got some family or friends that are lost and I need to witness to them. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. All over the building. Both sides, yes. I think it's a time, Bethel. You wonder why the baptism's not moving? Our heart's not moving for hell. We got to get concerned for people going to hell. You get that concern, the baptism will move. I want you to come and pray today. Let's stand. Lord, have your will and way in this church. God, grab our hearts, I pray. Oh, God, grab our hearts, I pray. In Christ's name, please. You want to come and pray for your family and friends? You come right now. You come right now. You just come right now. I can't tell you how many people have wrote to me. I preach in churches all over America. When I was younger, I'd preach this message and people would come forward. And then maybe a month or later, a couple weeks later, hey, preacher, I left the building after you preached that. I went and told my dad and he got saved. I went and told my mom and she got saved. I went to my brother and they got saved. It's exciting. You know what? We just got to want to do it before it's too late. They're there. We just need to get that concern, that good concern that they're perishing, lest they come in this place of torment. If you're not saved, I want you to come right now. Let me lead you in a prayer and get you saved. Don't walk out here not being saved. If you're not saved, you need to come forward and get saved. Don't go to hell for nobody. Well, I don't want to go in front of those people. We'll give you a counselor and he'll take you in the back room. You don't have to worry about it. I wouldn't go to hell for nobody. People are praying. Every head bowed and every eye closed. People are praying. Who would say, and I'm not going to embarrass you, but I know there's people here. Pastor, I'm not sure you can raise. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure 100% if I die, if I go to heaven. And I don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me? Just raise that hand. Who'd say that? I'm not sure 100%. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. You should know, before you walk out this door, you ought to know 100% that you're saved. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Who would say that? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. I'm not talking about getting baptized. I'm not talking about being a member of church. I'm talking about so you don't die and go to hell. So you go to heaven when you die. And all people die.
Sing one verse, John. No one comes. We're going to close.